Okay, in this week's parasha, we have a lot of ups and downs. This begins the turbulent history of Am Yisrael. Yeah. And one of the sad stories in this week's parasha, a complex story, is the story of Shechem. All right. It was the town, and there was the, and it was actually the name of the guy that raped Dina. Rashi actually, in next week's parsha, when we encounter Shechem for the second time, points out, and I'm quoting from Rashi in next parsha. Yosef came to Shechem, and that's where the brothers sold him. That's where they kidnapped him and decided to put him up for sale, which was a discount from wanting to kill him. Shechem, Yosef went towards Shechem. Mokom mukhan l'pronis. Shechem has always been a place that's susceptible for tragedies. Shom Kukol Shvatim, so Rashi starts off with the example of Parshas Vayeshev. That's where the Shvatim went bad and, did the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, initiated it. Shom, so that's where Dina got raped in this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach. Vishom Nechkom Malchus Beis Dovid, and that's also when there was the secession of Malchus Beis Dovid, when Am Yisrael split into Yehuda versus Yisrael, right, the rebellion against Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, Yeravam ben Nevat, they seceded. It happened in Shechem. That's where the secession and the split, the kingdom split in Shechem. Shechem's a trouble spot. So that's saying, what does it mean? Shechem is a trouble spot. That historically, it's always been a place, where bad things happen. And there's actually a list of three things. And maybe there's a common denominator. Dina gets raped by a guy over there. The brothers sell Yosef. And the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yisrael split into two separate kingdoms. Now, I'll just point out, something that there's a definite, obvious parallel that we're going to analyze more also next week. That when the kingdom split into two, Yehuda versus Yisrael, who were the key players? Rechavam, the king of, he was the king of United Israel before it split, and then he was limited to being the king of Yehuda. He's a son of Shlomo HaMelech, who's the son of David HaMelech, who's from Shevet Yehuda. Who was the rival king that broke off and started his own kingdom? Yeravam ben Nevat. He was from Shevet Yosef. So it's Yehuda and Yosef all over again. Because Yehuda was the one, in next week's parasha, that tells the brothers, all right, we don't have to kill him. It's enough to sell him. And the Masa, Chet Mechiras Yosef, one of the main players was Yehuda. And that's why, immediately after the story of Mechiras Yosef, as Rashi brings down, Yehuda leaves his brothers and goes marries Batshua, because they chucked him out because they got angry at him. You're the one who told us to sell Yosef, because seeing the type of anguish they called. So it's like the same players all over again: Yehuda, Yosef, and then their descendants, Rechavam and Yeravam, face off. Very interesting. There's a parallel that's a little bit more obvious between those two Puranias. But, the odd man out that's not so, that where the parallel is less apparent is Dina getting raped in Shechem.
Right? Yeravam, he was a wicked king, right?
Yeah, he was kind of from the people that have no chelok in Olam HaBo. He was a chote umachti. He started off as a big tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham, but then he went Rechavim, off. What?
Rechavim, he was a tzaddik.
Right? Yes, Yeravam was a tzaddik, except... wasn't politically wise. That was the Chazal. It's clear from the Navi. He made a big mistake. which was caused the kingdom to split. All right. So, like, what's the one that needs the most explanation is actually the example from our Dina got raped there. So, you know, it's sort of like doesn't fit neatly into the other two, which are sort of parallel with each other, Yehuda versus Yosef, or their descendants versus each other. Right? So now there's a very interesting, verb that opens up the whole story of Dina in this week's parsha. Vateitze Dina Baslea Sheodo Yaakov Liosos. Out went Dina Vateitze. It opens up with the word Vateitze, not Vatelech. Vateitze. She went out. Out went Dina, the daughter of Leah, that was that she born Leah, Dina to Yaakov, to look at the daughters of the land. She wanted to check out who her new playmates are going to be, the daughters of the land of Shechem. The verb is Vateitze. She went out, not Vatelech. Rashi clearly is notes that, but he more deals with it in context of why she's called Dina Bat Leah and not Bat Yaakov. It's Bat Leah Asher Yolda Yaakov. The daughter of Leah, and she born Dina for Yaakov. So Rashi is more going on Bas Leah. But listen to what Rashi says. Bas Leah below Bas Yaakov. She's the daughter of Leah, she's not the daughter of Yaakov. Because she went out, Vateitze Dina, because she went out, that's why she's more related to Leah. More, we put the emphasis on her yichus to Leah. Why? Shafhi Yatzionis Haisa. Leah was also in the habit of going out. Going out. Sheneemar Vateitze Leah Likroso. Right? As the Pasuk says in last week's parsha, after the story of the Dudaim, the flowers, that Rachel did a barter. You take Yaakov tonight if you give me the Dudaim. All right, so yeah, as it were, Rachel rented out Yaakov to Leah in exchange for the Dudaim. So it says, Vateitze Leah Likro. Leah went out to greet him. It's going out. So also, just like mother, like mother, like daughter. Vateitze Leah, Vateitze Dina. So, like, there's a little bit of a connotation, like there's a sort of act of lack of tznius, because kvoda basmelch penima, or a woman, the kvoda of the basmelch, is to be on the inside, right? So, but it's very interesting that what's key over here is the word vateitze, and that's why bas leah teitze, right? And that's what I want to, shtel on. A few minutes to understand this. And then we can understand what Shechem is all about. All right. So it's brought down from Kisvei Ari. And this is a big inyanim, and we're going to speak about this more than once over the next few weeks. It's brought down from Kisvei Ha'ari that Shechem is Rosh Tevis, Shame, Kvod, Malchuso. That's amazing. This terrible place that's Muchal Leparnas is Rosh Hashanah Shechem, Shame, Kvod, Malchuso. It's amazing. I say it's a terrible place where bad things happen. You call it the name of God's glorious majesty. Like, what's Pshat? All right, so before we go back to understand this Ari, is this the first time we found Shechem in the Torah? Right? As a place, yes, but not the word.
A person.
Both, in this parsha is both as a place and a person, because it's the place, and it's also Shechem ben Hamor was the guy who raped Dina. Right, but we found the word. To the best of my memory, we found the word. In one place earlier in the Torah. The pasuk says Noach got drunk, Right? Parshas Noach. Right? And Cham, you know, did terrible things to Noach when he was drunk. Right, different sheet is what he did. But the Torah makes it very clear that he, denigrated Noach in when Noach was then in that disgraced state. Then came Shem and Yefes. Vayakhu Shem v'Yefes es hasimla v'yasimu al Shechem shnehem. They put it on their joint shoulder. Vayakhu achoranes, and they went backwards, you know, so as not to look at Noach naked, and they... And then they covered a guy, Noach's nakedness.
Shechem means shoulder?
Yeah, I do believe. Right. They put it on their joint shoulder. Right. And then, you know, and of course that was considered to be tremendous shevach to Shem and Yefes, that when Noach, you know, wakes up, right, he curses Canaan, and he says, "Baruch Hashem, okay, blessed be our God, okay, Shem, he can't have long, Khan should be a sevetim. Yafto kim li Yefes, may God give beauty to Yefes." Right? And he should dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan should serve the two of them. Right. Yefes gets beauty, but he dwells in the tent of shame. Dwells in the tent of shame. Right. Shame has the tent. Yefes has the beauty, but he dwells in the tent of shame. Now, think about. Now, as we break down the terms, shame versus covered in malchus, right? We see something very interesting. It's pnimius versus chitzonius. Shame, a name. Now, you know, what does a name represent? A real name. A name that something has, like its biblical name. Right? The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis that Kadosh Baruch Hu passed, God formed from the earth all the different animals, all the creatures, and he passed them before the Adam. Whatever Adam called them, that's their name forever. That's pshat. So the Medrash says on that pasuk, the Malachim asked God, this Adam guy that you're so taken with, you're so enamored with, what's so hotsy-totsy about him? So Akash Baruch Hu threw down a challenge and said, listen, guys, see that animal over there with the long neck, orange thing with the long neck? What do you call it? They didn't know. I asked Adam, what do you call it? Giraffe. Or whatever the biblical word would be. Same thing, that thing with the horns, what do you call it? The Malachim didn't know. Adam, what do you call that thing? Sure. Ox. Right. The Adam Rishon knew what to call everything. The Malachim didn't know what to call him. Like, what's the matter? Just make up a name. Obviously, the name of something, its name in Lashon HaKodesh anyway, right, reflects its inner essence. That's what HaKodesh said about Adam, Chochmasom Ruben Shachem. He told the angels, he is wiser than you guys. He has more penetrating chachma than you, because he could figure out the appropriate name for everything. Because as the Sfarim explained, its name in Lashon HaKodesh, those Osius represent the divine lights that give this thing its existence, that these divine lights in that order, the divine light that's Keneged Shin, and the divine light that's connected Vav, and the divine light's connected to Resh. If you set up those divine lights in that order, it gets a shor. That, you know, the name is Ma'aj reflective of, its real name is reflective of the divine energies that make it exist the way it exists with all its characteristics. Which means it's pnimius. The divine energies is the pnimius. The way it appears to the eyes, it's chitzonius. So you call it the fuzzy thing with the horns, right? The fuzzy, big fuzzy thing with the horns, but that's the chitzonius. The name is the pnimius because the name is reflective of the divine lights, you know, the iris, right? And, you know, the divine sparks, and which reflects its real purpose in the world, its destiny. That's what's all in the shame, if it's the real name, if it's the real biblical name. Right? Kavod, what's glory? Kavod is from the outside. Barov am hadrasmach, the more, the merrier. The more, there's more glory. Right? You know, it's something that comes from the outside. People are mechabed you. And the more people, the more covet you have, the more followers. It's something from the outside. Right? People are mechabed you. It's something that comes. Shame is from the inside. It reflects the inner essence. Covet you get from the outside. The people around you, outside of you, are mechabed you. Malchus. Also, is chitzonius. Ein melech below am. There's no king without a kingdom, without a nation. Those days, a guy lives, you know, alone on a desert island. I'm a king. King over what? Over who? Where's your nation? So it means malchus also is external, similar to the way of kavod. So it means that there's a very interesting thing over here, that this conglomerate of words, shem, kavod, malchuso, is actually pnimius and chitzonius. Shem, represents, inner essence, right? Kavod and malchus is external, right? Now, of course, we want to unite the two, right? That, you should get kavod. Right, and you should get malchus in recognition of your name. Like what I mean by that, like we say, Vayashem lemelech al kol haaretz, v'emu yashem echad u'shmo echad. One God, but also one name. No, everyone's going to know the name of God. And because of that, out of the recognition, right? And because of the recognition of the divine name, everyone's going to give him glory, everyone's going to be subservient to him. It should be that the pnimius and the chitzonius should be in sync. That because a person is a baal shem tov, he has a good name, which reflects on a good essence, that's why people are mechabed him. And that's why people want to be subservient to him and take him as a leader. The Dor HaFloga said, Na'aseh lanu shem. Let's make a name for ourselves. Meaning, let's rebel against God. Because really, right, everyone should be subservient to shem shamayim. They said when they built the tower, Na'aseh lanu shem. We want to be the essence. We want to be the, there shouldn't be any other essence than ourselves. We say that the real essence is Shem Shamayim, and therefore, because that's the real essence, right, therefore you should give it kavod, and therefore you should follow it. It's out of recognition of the shame, recognition of Shem Shamayim, right, that we give kavod to the shame, right, and we follow the shame. Dor HaFloga's chet was Na'aseh Lanu Shem. We want to be the essence. No, we're not makir in any other essence other than ourselves. We're makir that the essence is Shem Shamayim, and that's why we worship him, because he's the one real thing. So he makir Shem Shamayim. V'lechvod Shimcha Yikar Yitenu. And to the glory of your name, everyone will give, honor. Right? You know, we give glory, covet to the shame, and the shame is the malchus is, you know, l'shem shamayim, right? That, you know, your makar is the essence. The chitzonius has to be subservient to the pnimius. Everything on the outside, the am, the covet, should be geared towards inwards, towards the real internal truth, the real essence, the real inner essence of reality. Right? But sometimes there's the tension, you know, between chitzonius and pnimius, that the chitzonius wants to be independent. That's what Dora Afloga said. Nase lanu shem. We want to be the essence, not God. And that was the rebellion against God. Right? Kayan says, so where's Ayahev Achiz? Shomer Achianochi? What, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes, right? Because Hevel, without getting into all the reasons, right, was the Primius, and Kayan is the Chitzonius. And yes, the Chitzonius is supposed to guard the Primius, serve the Primius, like the peel that's on the outside is the Shomer of the Pri. And yes, you are the Shomer of your brother. He was rebelling against that. Because Hevel was on a higher madriga than Kayan, and Kayan is supposed to be his keeper. But it's like the peel rebelling against the fruit. Right? The external rebelling against the inner. And there's this tension, you know, that you don't want to be subservient. Right? And that's, you know, the correct model is that there's a primius and there's a chitzonius, and the chitzonius works for the primius. It's a shomer and an adornment. Those the two functions of a chitzonius is to be a shomer. The shomer has to be on the outside. The thing that's being nishmar is on the inside. A shomer on the one hand, and an adornment, you know, a yofi, and a beautification. You say the beauty is on the outside. You wear your jewelry on the outside, not under your clothes. You do your makeup, your jewelry, you wear on the outside, not on the inside. And that's the function of what the chitzonius has to serve the pnimius. And that's the relationship between Am Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam in the way that it's supposed to be, in the way that it was supposed to, and meant to be. Am Yisrael would be the shame, and the Umas HaOlam will give the covet and the malchus, meaning like will be in the future. Everyone's going to follow Melech HaMashiach. Everyone will do everything l'shem shamayim. Right? So Am Yisrael will be in the pnimius, and the Umas HaOlam will be on the chitzonius, and the chitzonius will serve the pnimius and be add glory, expand the malchus, be a bigger kingdom, because all the other goyim are going to be annexed to Am Yisrael. It'll be a bigger covet, bigger malchus, right? And all l'shem shamayim. It's all l'shem shamayim. It's all for the sake of shem shamayim. I mean, that's the pnimius. That's the goal, that's the essence that everything works for, is subservient to. This model was already set up with shame and yefes. Right? Noach says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shame. He wakes up, he gets sober, blessed be the God, you know, Lord of shame. He already saw shame is going to be the holy nation. Right? Am Yisrael comes from shame. They're going to be the holy nation. Right? And that's why Vishkan Bolshem, they're in the tent. They're the Pnimius. They're the holy nation. They're the Pnimius. They're the Kedusha. They're the Shem Shemayim. And his name was Shem. His name was Mamash Keneged. His name was Shem. And he's Keneged Shem Shemayim. Keneged the Shem. Keneged the Pnimius. And that's why he's in the tent. He's the tent. He's the inner space. Yafdel Kim Liefes, he got beauty. And he's Vishkan Bolshem, but the tent is Shem's. You know, he will dwell with shame in the tent, but the tent is shame. He serves shame. You know.
Go with the roles of Hevel, kind of Hevel?
Sort of, yes. Right? And that's Pearson Chitzonius. Right? And that was supposed to be the arrangement that, you know, Yafusachas, Yishkol Hashem, that's why the Torah could also be written in Greek. The halacha is that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, you could write Sfarim in Greek, not just Hebrew. Because Yaftel Kim Yafs, Yishkol Hashem, because the beauty, you know, it was annexed. It's the beauty, how the beauty is annexed onto the object that it beautifies. Beauty is external. Beauty is, you know, external. You know, it's how it looks, right? It's image, right? But it's annexed on, and that was supposed to be the model, right? And we are see, and it's all built on V'yasimu al Shechem Shnehem. The shin of Shechem is shame. The covenant of Malchus is Yefes. And they were working together, Shechem. One, you know, one shoulder between the two of them. Shame being the inner side of the shoulder, right? And Yefes the outer side. And Noach says that's going to be the model. That was supposed to be the model. Shame on the inside, Yefes on the outside. Shame is who's godly, who's divine. Baruch Hashem Elokei Shame. Shame Shamayim is on shame, literally. He's connected, shame is connected. Shame Shamayim, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shame. Right, v'ikran eved lomo, and yafta elokim yes vishkom bole shame. Right, as it were, you know, shame was the inner part of the shoulder, part of the shoulder that touches the skull. Right, and yefes was connected the outer part of the shoulder. Shechem shnehem. Right, and that's the inyan of this place in the world called Shechem. That even Bizman Azeh is a Mokom Muchan Lepronius. That's where the Kasbah is. We're all Shechem. That's Piguim. Right. Hashem. You know what that Inyan is? You know what Shechem represents? Shechem represents, if a person would be spiritually sensitive, Shechem is where Pnimius meets Chitzonius. And so it's so apropos that it's called in political terms, Kavatefer. You hear in the Israeli news, Kavatefer, the seam. The place where it's sewed up, the seam. And it's so apropos, because it is the seam between Pnimius and Chitzonius. Shechem is that place where Pnimius meets Chitzonius, where it could be the place of where it gets sewn up and unified, or the place, easiest place to rip a garment, is at the seam. Right? It's at the seam that you could rip things apart. Seam is where it gets joined or ripped apart, one or the other. And until that day, when it gets permanently sewed up, it's going to be the place where Muchan Lepronius, things most easily rip up. Right? So I don't want to get into it this week. I want to save it more for next week and the week after. What is Yehuda versus Yosef? And I will show you that Yehuda versus Yosef is Pnimius versus Chitzonius.
Which one being which?
Yosef being Chitzonius? Yosef being Chitzonius, absolutely.
Right. And I'll show you.
Yeah, absolutely. He goes. He's the one who goes to Golis. But also, why did Yeravam, I'll give you one drop hint.
Involved with the world and everything also.
Absolutely. Exactly. You hopped it. But, you know, but regarding the civil war, right? It was bad enough that there was a civil war. But why did it splinter to two different religions? That Yeravam set up golden calves that people shouldn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he didn't want people going to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because Gamrinan and Yeshiva Bazar Malchi Beis Tov Bar, there's a halacha. Only Malachim from Beis Tov are allowed to sit in the Azar. The rest of people have to stand, right? So you would go Aliyah Larego, all the Jews are going to go up three times a year, see Rechavam sitting and me standing, because I'm not from Beis Tov. No way. No more Beis HaMikdash. Set up roadblocks to bank Aliyah Larego and created an alternate religion. Because he'll be sitting and I'll be standing. He's sitting because that's his place. The Beis HaMikdash is HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shmo Shom. It's where the name of God dwells. It's the house. It's the inner space where the name of God dwells. Throughout Tanakh, it's called Mokom Asher L'Shakein Shmo Shom, where God's name dwells. Even already after Mantar, B'chol Mokom Asher Azkir Es Shmi, the place where my name is mentioned, says Rashi, in the Beis HaMikdash, because there they say the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Avo Elecho Brachti, that's right, come here and bless you, that's referring to Beis HaMikdash. But it is called where Shame Shamayim is. And who could sit there as if it's his own house? The kings of Malchi Beis David. And that's why Malchi Beis David, they built the Beis HaMikdash, and according to the Rambam, Mashiach is destined, just like David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo HaMelech actually built it. Lassilo Melcha Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, because Malchi Beis Dover connected the house. They're connected to Shem. They're connected to Pnimius. Yosef's connected to Chitzonius. He didn't want to come. We're going to come to the house of God where the shame, where shame Shemayim, where the divine name Mamish rests and is revealed, and they'll see him sitting and me standing because that's his place. And we'll get into many reasons why that is, that you know, that Yehuda and then Malchus based David is Pnimius, and Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, is Chitzonius. But it was a sin. It was, that's it. That's the point. Leah going out was a sin. Right? It was a sin in general because of a violation of tznius, right? Tznius, right, in a certain way, you know, was a pretzus. And, but I guess the fact that it was Leah makes it even worse, right? Because she's the mother of Yehuda, right? Should have stayed in.
I mean, that was Rachel's job.
Yeah. Not Rachel, but you know, it's the children of Rachel, the ones who go out, at least Yosef, right? But yeah, so that's there, repeating the error. Supposed to stay in. But it is amazing. That's Vateitse Dina. Vateitse. She went out. Liros Brosaris. So the fact that they attributed this lack of tzniyas to Leah, right? But it's all going to, you don't say Lalechet B'Shem. You don't say that. It's not the proper word. Take a strong Shem. You're Yotze to Shem. Because Shem is the portal between Pnimius and Tzos. So you go out to Shem. Even though the tent is based in Shechem, Shechem is not a place where you take a stroll. Shechem is called to go out. It's where Pnimius meets Chitzonius. And it could be, and when it's the right thing, all right, so that's Shlemus. Right? But before the tikkun is complete, it is the seam, and the place to rip easiest is the seam. And that's why it's Mokum Muchan Leporanius. It's the seam. It's the cosmic seam that can easily unravel. And that's it. A Jewish girl, Jews, we said, Jews who are B'nai Shem, we're the Pnimius. Shechem is Chitzonius. She got raped. She went out and she got raped. Meaning that, you know, the people from the outside broke in and then captured a Jewish girl. It's like, you know, she was captured, you know. The Pnimius was taken hostage to the Chitzonius. Locked up in Beis Shechem until she was liberated. Locked up. The Pnimius was taken captive by the Chitzonius. They're supposed to stay on the outside. We're supposed to be on the inside. They broke in and raped Dina. Broke into the inner space and took a girl from the inner space. But as it were, she started by not staying on the inside by herself, but Tetze, by going on the outside.
In relation to why Shimon and Levi did the whole...
Oh, no, but that's very good. Shimon and Levi, at least the Levi part, right? Because Levi, right, is the progenitor, right, the ancestor of the Kohanim, right, who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's more than that. That's what happened so many years ago. The partnership between Shem and Yefes didn't work out. Yefes didn't stay on the outside. Because who are the descendants of Yefes? The Yevonim. And the Beis HaMikdash, we said, represents inner space. It's called the Makom of Shem Shemayim. Who broke into the Beis HaMikdash? The Yevonim. They broke in and they defiled to prove this is our turf also. They didn't torch it. They didn't want to torch it. They wanted to defile it to prove, this belongs to us also. We reach here also. Not just like you guys are on the inside, we're on the outside. No way. No way. You know, the inner space belongs to us all. That's why breaching the Beis HaMikdash, defiling the oil, right, which represents Chochmah Satorah, which is Pnimius, as opposed to secular science, which we find in the Rishonim, in the Chazal, it's called Chochmos Chitzonios, external wisdom. Secular knowledge, which the Greeks were very good at, called Chochmos Chitzonios, as opposed to Torah, which is Pnimius. And that's what the oil of the menorah represents. You know, Chazal say the people of Tekoa are very wise because they have a lot of olive oil, because a lot of olive groves. Shemen represents Chochmah. V'timu kol hashmanim, they defiled the oils to show that, you know, the Chochmah of Yisrael is not any better than their Chochmah. It was the Chitzonius rebelling against the Pnimius, trying to conquer the Pnimius, and they broke 13 breaches in the Sorag, in the fence around the Beis HaMikdash, and connected that, you know, and it's called breaches. They broke in. It was break-in entry. They were trespassing on inner space. They broke in. And when Hashem rebuilt those walls, they were metakin, you have to bow whenever you face one of those places where there used to be a breach. What does bowing represent? The line doubles over on itself. You can't continue. You can't break in there. You can't go straight. You bow means you double over on yourself. The chitzonius cannot invade the primius. If the chitzonius tries to invade the primius, it doubles over on itself. It bows. Right? All right, without getting, we'll talk about this more as we come to Hanukkah. Right, so this is why we read these parshas right before Hanukkah, and that's the parsha of Mechiras Yosef's mamish during Hanukkah, right? Because part of the theme of Hanukkah is that the Yevonim blurred the Pnimius and the Chitzonius by breaking in, right? But of course, you know what caused that? Because 60 years earlier or so, the Torah went out. Because the 60 years or earlier was the story of Talmi HaMelech, who forced the rabbis to translate the Torah into Greek. So 60 years earlier, the Torah went from Pnim to Chutz. It got exposed to the public by being put into Greek. And because of that, 60 years later, the Greeks could break in. The Torah went out to the Greeks.
Why is it mutter?
Right. It's be mutter for us, but not mutter for us to share with them. They took it, they did it to steal the Torah.
They did it with the wrong intentions.
Wrong intentions. So that's why Chazal changed certain things, because they did it to have the Torah for themselves. So that's why Chazal changed. They changed 13 things. Right? Gematria Echad, that changed 13 things. Gematria Echad is what I explained. Right? They broke out and had to change 13 things because the Torah is being ripped off. So they had to at least change 13 things to minimize the damage. And connected that, 60 years later, the Yevonim broke in 13 places. Right? And then it was Levi, the Kohanim, the Chashmonaim, that drove them out. Mamash parallel to how Levi is one of the people who liberated Dina. Levi found his tikkun. Shimon never found his tikkun. Because even though Shimon started, with liberating Dina, but he didn't finish because he was guilty of the same thing later on in life. Because with Zimri and Cosby, Shevet Shimon intermarried. So here Shimon did something against assimilation to separate Primus from Chitzonius when Chitzonius invades, but he himself was his Shevet, and the leader of Shevet was guilty of assimilation with Benos Midyan, years later. And that's why Shimon has not found his tikkun yet. Shimon has not been found. Levi found his tikkun. Shimon, as a function of that, the story of Hanukkah is the power of Shevet Levi. Again, like restoring Primus and Soros. It just shows that the kas of Levi wasn't a taiva for Ritzicha when he killed Abshchem. Like as it were, it had a requiem. It had a tikkun. Because you see, in the end, Mila Hashem Elai, Shevet Levi was willing to kill anyone who was Nechshon Cheda Ego, and Shevet Levi was in the end the ones that, drove the Yevonim out. You see that their kas had its tikkun, it was channeled to the right place to be, to separate the Chitzonius from the Pnimius when the Chitzonius tries to take over the Pnimius. Let me explain. Shimon hasn't had his full tikkun yet. There's still, as it were, like a Shiloh, whether his Kanos by Dina was really 100% Lashem Shemayim, because when it came later to assimilation, he was Nechshel. At least the head of the Shevet was Nechshel.
Yaakov himself said that it wasn't Lashem Shemayim, though.
Yeah, so Yaakov criticized him, but Levi had his tikkun. But Levi had his tikkun, is what I'm saying. Levi subsequently had the tikkun.
Through Hanukkah.
Yeah, well, Hanukkah was like an extension of it already. Already Mila Hashem Elai by... Yeah, by the Cheda Ego. Levi was Zocha the Tikkun. Shimon, not yet. Right? We have to talk about that another time.
Right? So Yosef is basically presuming the role of what the Yevonim were supposed to be doing?
Yes.
An external...
Yes, he's the ambassador of Am Yisrael. He's the aspect of Am Yisrael that goes out and deals with them. And Mashiach ben Yosef is destined to deal with them. Whether it's, he's going to be the warrior. He's going to go out there. And he's connected near Hanukkah. And that's the amazing thing. We'll just jump another remez to Hanukkah. The takon of Hanukkah is al Pesach beso mi bachutz. The Hanukkah candles have to be next to the house. And a person who doesn't have a house is not chayv in Hanukkah candles. Right? But on the outside. It's like, you know, resetting the boundaries of inner space and outer space. And then there's the light that we send out. And that's the Ner Hanukkah and that's Yosef. That's the light that goes, but it has to be the light of the house going out. That the hashpa influence goes inside out, not outside in.
Is there a connection between Yosef's special Messiah?
Absolutely. He resisted. He resisted assimilation. He resisted, even though he was out there, he didn't assimilate. So even though he's out there, he's on their turf, he's out, he's in outer space, he doesn't assimilate. He's the Ner Chanukah, the light that shines out. Pesach Beisomi Bachutz, but Pesach HaBaisomi Bachutz, it's at the door of the house. He doesn't lose contact with the house. He doesn't lose sight of the Pnimius. Mashpia outwards, but connected to the house. It has to be within one tefach, even though generally three tefachim is lovud, by Ner Chanukah or Machmir, has to be within one tefach. There has to be like a sense that the house is being mashpia outside, not that the outside is separated from the house. And that's, right? And that's what Shechem, the sad story of Shechem, which starts this week's parasha, it's all about the seam between Pnimius and Chitzonius, which until the Tikkun HaSholem will be, the seam will be the place where things most easily rip. That's why it's well. But Lasi Lovo, when it'll be tightened up and sewed up firmly, it'll be the greatest glorification, cause everything will be merged, the Pnimius and the Chitzonius will be in service of the Pnimius, and one will know their proper place and their proper role. You won't have the friction between the Pnimius and the Chitzonius. You have the Chitzonius just firmly serving the Pnimius. And if this will end up with what the Pasuk says. After everything we said, it's so beautiful. The Lashon of the Pasuk. Oz efach es kalim safa brura. And then I'm going to cause all the nations to turn to be a clear language. Maybe everyone's going to speak one language again, which is a tikkun for Migdal Bava. That's when God mixed up the languages, because they said Nasel Anu Shem. Oz efach, but connected that, opposite of that, is efach safa brura, was going to speak the same language where they will understand each other. And what are they going to say? Likra kulam b'shem Hashem. Everyone call out the shem Hashem. He's the shem. Ula avdo shechem echad. And to serve him in unison, shoulder, serve him one shoulder. That's the tikkun of Shechem. That's the tikkun of Shechem is going to be a tikkun for Migdal Bavel and for what happened between how Yefes and Shem didn't work out by Hanukkah and how Dino and everything that happened between the brothers. The tikkun of all the historical errors of how things didn't work out, which is all beside the Chitzonius rebelling against the Pnimius, is Az Ekrakam Kulam Safa Brura Likro Kulam B'Shem Hashem, understanding that the real shame is Shem Hashem, Ula Avdo Shechem Echad. And that's when the Shechem will be in perfect unity, right? Serving him one Shechem. B'mhera B'Yameinu Amen. Because what they call enlightenment, we call darkness.